What is up, Vermont Edition podcast listener? This is Elodie Reed, digital producer for VPR. Just to let you know, this podcast has been edited for brevity and clarity. Enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. The impeachment process launched by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi advanced to a new level this week when the House Judiciary Committee held its first hearing. Next week, the committee is expected to hold one or two additional public hearings before it draws up several articles of impeachment against President Trump. If that happens, it's likely that the full House will consider and vote on those articles in about 10 days. This week, the House Intelligence Committee released its report on this issue. The report concludes that President Trump did try to pressure the president of Ukraine into launching an investigation into former Vice President Joe Biden. The report also found that the president, quote, obstructed justice by refusing to allow members of his administration to testify in front of Congress. Congressman Peter Welch is a member of the House Intelligence Committee. Here are his final comments at the committee's last hearing.
This conduct corrupts our democracy. It corrupts how our country conducts foreign policy. It threatens our national security and the security of all Americans. And it is, in my view, a clear betrayal of the president's oath of office.
What were the key factors that persuaded Congressman Welch to support the committee's conclusions, and how does he respond to Republican criticism that this process is rigged and is an effort to overturn the results of the 2016 election? These are some of the questions we have for our guest today, Congressman Peter Welch, who joins us from Washington, D.C. Congressman, thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you.
As I understand it, there may be some votes coming up in the next half hour, so we'll try to keep you for as long as we can, let you go vote, and hopefully have you come back. I know it's a very busy time down there.
Well, I'm right here by the floor, so I'll be able to do that in and out.
Excellent. We really appreciate that. Congressman, you're supporting at least two articles of impeachment against the president. The first one is, quote, an abuse of power. Why do you feel he's guilty of that?
Well, impeachment is fundamentally about whether a person that holds a high public office in a public trust uses that for personal or private benefit. And what the president did, in his own words, admitted, was that he used his power as president in his ability to withhold aid and to withhold a White House meeting to an ally, Ukraine, in an effort to compel Ukraine to do political work, an investigation on the Bidens that was of personal benefit to the president. So that is a classic example of what the founders had in mind when a person used their public trust for personal gain. And the evidence on that, in my view, is overwhelming.
As a member of the Intelligence Committee, you heard days and days of testimony from a lot of witnesses. What do you think was the most compelling testimony that you heard?
Well, the most compelling testimony was really what the president released in that readout of his phone call with President Zelensky. I mean, in his own words, he said, "Do me a favor, though." And the favor that he was requesting President Zelensky was to do investigations on Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and the 2016 election interference theory of that Ukraine, not Russia, interfered in our election. And that was totally about giving some advantage to President Trump in the campaign where he expected his most formidable and likely opponent at that time was going to be Joe Biden. So that was really the linchpin here, and it's what changed the whole tenor of the question of impeachment. The investigation that we did in our 300 or so page report elaborated on all the activity that went on by other people on behalf of pursuing the president's goal of getting that investigation done by Ukraine. And that is the information we got about Giuliani, The Ambassador Sondland testimony, where he had that telephone call in a public restaurant with President Trump, and the concern the president had was, will he do the investigations? It had to do with an elaboration of how many people were in the loop. Vice President Pence was in the loop. He was on emails. Secretary of State Pompeo was in the loop. And what became clear through this investigation and the presentation of the report is that phone call was the explicit statement by President Trump of what he wanted. But he had an enormous amount of energy, a fierce determination, and enlisted the support of many people in his administration in order to try to achieve this political goal that he had.
Congressman, what about the argument that all presidents engage in so-called quid pro quo policies with foreign countries? That message is, if you do this, then the United States will do that. And this kind of activity happens all the time.
Well, quid pro quos in foreign policy absolutely do happen all of the time. But the quid and the pro and the quo are about our national interest. So, for instance, right now, we condition aid to Ukraine, for example, on them taking anti-corruption steps. That's been a big problem in Ukraine, and that was a big part of our policy of trying to help them during the Trump administration, and it's something that bipartisan we support. But with the goal and what it is we're seeking is something that is to advance our national security interest, not the personal interest of the person who happens to be president. You know, the analogy I made, and I think it's really a good one, is that let's say you have a mayor of a city, and the police want their budget to be considered by the city council, and the mayor says to the police chief, I'll do it, but only if you do an investigation on my political opponent and announce that publicly. Now, that's a quid pro quo. It's totally illicit, and we would recall that person. We'd probably charge him with a crime. On the other hand, if the mayor says, I want you to make certain you have goals to get a non-discrimination policy, I want to make certain that you do police training, those are public policy matters that can be very much out in the open and can be part of the discussion about whether you support the police budget.
We've got a lot of people who like to weigh in on this issue today, so let's start off with Louise, who's calling from Shrewsbury. Hi, Louise. Welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. My question is, I am far from a Trump supporter, and I've watched the impeachment proceedings carefully, but I really feel that, especially since we know it's headed to the Senate, that I don't understand why the Democrats are not waiting to go through the process of subpoenaing and going to the judicial process to get testimony from, for example, Pence, Bolton, and Pompeo. It seems to me to remove all doubt what a favor might be that the president is talking about. Thank you.
Louise, well, thank you. Congress, we've gotten a couple of emails on that very subject of why hasn't Bolton testified?
Well, it's a fair question, and let me address it. Number one, we're proceeding now because, in our judgment, there's overwhelming evidence of what the president was up to. And it is really all centered around what the president, the transcript of his phone call. He do me a favor, though. Second, a lot of these people we've subpoenaed. We want to get the records and the testimony. We've subpoenaed records of Giuliani, the State Department records of Pompeo. So all of those would be ideal to get. The person standing in our way of getting them is President Trump. He has directed them not to testify. He's directed them not to turn over records. And as to going to court, we've actually done that with Mr. McGahn. We've gone to court. It took 4 months. There's a preliminary ruling that he has to testify. Now that's on appeal. So essentially, if we go through the judicial process, even in a situation where, in the judgment of those of us who served on this committee, we have more than enough evidence to make the case, we'll run out the clock. And accountability delayed will be accountability denied. And it's clear that this is the goal of the White House, is to simply run out the clock. And even as I'm speaking to you at this very moment, Rudy Giuliani is over in Ukraine. And the goal of the president has been to get that foreign interference. So my view is there's got to be a judgment made. One, do we have the evidence we need to make the case? And then two, we'll continue with the investigation, but we can't let the president's, in effect, obstruction be a way where he avoids any accountability for the conduct that I think we can prove.
Let's talk to Nancy, who's calling from Morrisville. Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My call, Congressman, is about when this moves to the Senate. So assuming that the House votes the articles of impeachment, my concern is that there is so much anger and so much vitriol on the Republican side. Some of it may be fair, some of it may not be, but it's there. And that they are going to try to uncover, you know, turn over every rock to see whether the Democrats in any way are compromised. And are you confident that the Democrats can stand up to this when it goes to a trial in the Senate?
Well, I'm very confident of the work that we did in the Intelligence Committee. You know, I hope things proceed on the level in the Senate, but that's not going to be within my control. But I, in defense of what we did, most of us were pretty reluctant about impeachment because it's an extraordinarily serious responsibility, and it's a power that is given in the Constitution to the House of Representatives. Many members were holding back, including Speaker Pelosi, and it was really the Ukraine call and just that brazen request by President Trump for foreign interference. And the timing of that was astonishing, really. He did that on July 25th, and it was on July 24th, the day before, that Director Mueller testified in detail about Russian interference in 2016. And the day after that testimony, you have the president requesting Ukraine interference in 2020. And that goes to the heart of our elections. I mean, all of us, Republicans and Democrats, obviously want Americans to be making the decision about who our president is. We don't want foreign interference. So at that point, for many, the political calculations gave way to the constitutional imperative. It is a divisive and difficult process, but I believe we're doing the right thing.
Congressman, what about the Republican argument that this whole impeachment process to date has really been rigged against the president? They haven't had an opportunity to call their own witnesses. How do you respond to those criticisms?
Well, it's really bogus. I really say that definitively. And here's why. First of all, the process has taken longer than in the congressional wing, in the House side, than the Clinton impeachment effort in Congress took. Secondly, all of the hearings involved when we were doing the depositions, the eligibility of any Republican or any Democrat who served on the three committees of jurisdiction to be present and to ask questions. And I was at those hearings, and I was sitting next to Republican members who were asking questions and had an opportunity to do whatever it is they wanted. Third, the argument that's being made here is essentially a way of avoiding addressing the heart of the matter. What did the president do, and why did he do it? And not a single one of my Republican colleagues has addressed the very disturbing substance of that call, nor have they addressed the stonewalling of the president, who has it within his power to release documents and to present witnesses of his choosing that could exonerate him if there was any information that he had that would actually explain or exonerate what the evidence shows. So I take that argument as essentially a way of avoiding taking responsibility to address the facts.
But did the Republicans on the Intelligence Committee have an opportunity to call their own witnesses at those hearings?
They had, under the rules, and by the way, the rules that applied in this were the rules that were adopted by Republicans in the last session, they had a right to request witnesses, and the witnesses then, the whole committee voted on that. And what they were trying to do in terms of who the witnesses are that they asked for were like Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, and trying to totally change the nature of what the inquiry was. So, and they did have a few, they did have some witnesses of their choosing.
Congressman, we know you're going to have to vote at some point, so don't hesitate to speak up and say you got to go vote, and we know you'll be right back. So just let us know when that occasion occurs.
Are you good for the next? I voted just before we started, and we're in an argument, what's called a motion to recommit, and both sides get some time to argue that. And I'm watching the screen as we talk.
I appreciate it. Let's talk to David, who's calling from Wilmington. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. I just want to say that I think rather than impeaching the president for abusing his powers, we need to impeach the entire Democratic Party for abusing their powers. What they're trying to do is flip this country to a socialist communist regime by internally disrupting what's going on in the legitimate government. And it's really, it's got to come to a stop. These people, I would be willing to support the president if he declared martial law and removed these people from office.
All right, David, let me ask you a question. Do you have any problem with the president of the United States asking the president of a foreign country to investigate a political opponent?
I do, but I don't believe he did that. I believe that's a fabrication.
All right, David, there are a lot of people who think the same way that you do. Congressman Welch, how do you respond?
Well, there are a lot of my colleagues that have been making his argument. And what he said that gives me some hope is that if you believe the president, any president, requested assistance from a foreign leader to interfere in our elections, that would be disturbing to you. And it certainly is disturbing to me. And you don't believe it, and I respect you for your position on that. I do believe it. I believe it very strongly. I think it's irrefutable. Now, I had the benefit of being able to sit in all those depositions. I had the benefit of being able to participate in all the public hearings. So I came to the conclusion that, in fact, the president did do this. And that's why I am supporting the impeachment effort.
Let's talk to Alan, who's calling from Burlington. Hey, Alan, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I'll keep it short. It kind of deals with the last caller. But in a way, I just want to know how Congressman Welch deals with the across the aisle, who are so what we're doing.
Congressman Welch, I think it's fair to say during your tenure in Congress and certainly in your work at the Vermont legislature that you've made efforts to reach out to Republicans. You've certainly done that in Congress and co-sponsored a number of different bills with Republican members. When you go and talk to them now, are you surprised that they're supporting the president right down the line?
Well, I am a bit because most of my Republican colleagues, like most of my Democratic colleagues, take very seriously their responsibilities and the obligation that all of us have to the Constitution, and each of us has to make our judgments on this. And, you know, even as we speak, I'm working with Republicans in the Trump administration on drug pricing legislation. And that's something I hope we get done. But the politics are really tough, and they come into play for everybody, but particularly on this for my Republican colleagues. Impeachment is very unpopular in the Republicans who voted for Trump. And this is a reflection that I think an earlier caller mentioned of the division within the country, and it's true. But if anybody on the Republican side just does anything, they can suffer the consequences of a tweet from the president that has a very, very big impact on them. But I do think it's a struggle. You know, on the Intelligence Committee, there's a lot of good members there on the Republican side that we work together very closely on national security issues. but each of us has to come to our own conclusion on this. But I got to say, independent of impeachment, I'm going to do all I can to try to focus on gun safety legislation, on infrastructure, and on lowering the price of prescription drugs. And I work day in and day out with a lot of Republicans. Give me 1 minute. I got to run out and vote right now.
All right. This is Vermont Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Today, our guest is Congressman Peter Welch. We're talking about the impeachment proceedings going on in Washington. Next week, the House Judiciary Committee will be drafting articles of impeachment. It's likely that that will happen late in the week after holding several hearings. If those articles are drafted, then the following week, the week of December 16th, we will see the issue move to the full House floor, where there will be an active debate about the articles of impeachment, and there will be floor managers on both sides making the arguments back and forth. And of course, we'll have that live coverage for you right here on Vermont Public Radio. If you'd like to talk to the congressman about the impeachment issue, Congressman, good to have you back after your vote.
Thank you. Hey, by the way, just so I know how much interest Vermonters have in this, we're going to do a telephone town hall meeting on December 16. That's Monday, December 16 at 7 p.m. So we'll be reaching out to all Vermonters who want to participate in that telephone town hall to hear from them and to answer questions about the whole impeachment issue.
That's good for us to know. Thank you. You know, there are a lot of people who are wondering, why not just wait till the 2020 election? It's, 11 months away. Let voters decide the fate of this president. Why not go that route?
Well, let me say that a lot of us struggled with that. And ultimately, by the way, there's a very good chance the voters will be deciding. So the election is going to be is going to obviously play a major role in this. But the reason that I believe that we had to act is because the idea that the President of the United States would use his office to extract a concession and help in his campaign from a foreign ally and essentially put his political interests before the national security interests of the country is unacceptable. And it's precisely what our founding fathers had in mind when they decided to put the impeachment clause in the Constitution. And I've never seen an example of this. I think what the president did in trying to pressure Ukraine and literally withholding aid that Republicans and Democrats said was desperately needed and was widely supported, and he did it for his own personal political interest, is completely unacceptable. The second thing that we haven't talked about but really is extremely serious, we're proud of our democracy, and rightly so. And we've had battles. We've had to go through depressions, world wars. We've had fights about civil rights. Everything that a society has to address, we've had the benefit of a strong democracy based on our Constitution that has helped us resolve what could be bitter and divisive issues. It depends on checks and balances that we've got the court, we've got the executive, and we've got the Congress. Every prior president who hated impeachment, and I'm talking Clinton and Nixon and even Andrew Johnson, acknowledged that there was authority in the Constitution for the House of Representatives to do an impeachment inquiry. Nixon and Clinton both made witnesses available, including their chiefs of staff. They made documents available, including things that turned out to be embarrassing. President Trump has repudiated that. He says he's got Article II authority, that's the executive branch, to do anything he wants. And he has instructed people not to testify and not to give any documents. So what that means is that this doctrine of checks and balances would crumble. And that's the aspect of this that I think is also making it absolutely essential that we proceed.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Kelly, who's calling from Chester. Hey, Kelly, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you. Peter Welch, thank you. It's good to hear your view on all this. During the impeachment hearings, both the Republicans and Democrats have to essentially conduct marketing and public relations to their own constituents. You know, it is to a certain extent a way to gain public support for their positions. Can you think of, or how can the Democrats frame their case for impeachment in such a way as to give the Republicans political cover or create a potential necessity for them to support impeachment? It occurs to me that that there are good Republicans out there and persons who would like to vote for impeachment on moral grounds, but don't have political cover to do that.
Well, you know, I don't have an easy answer on this. Impeachment, by definition, is a very explosive and divisive topic. And the way I've tried to proceed, and I think we did this in the Intelligence Committee, is to play it as straight as possible. What's the abuse of power? And try to lay out, through the witnesses, with no congressional grandstanding, what the conduct was that we find impeachable. And to let the witnesses in the documents tell the story so that Americans and members of Congress can come to their own conclusion. And that's this is deadly serious. We've had callers who I respect that disagree with the position I'm taking. They, at minimum, have to have some confidence that my conduct is reflective of my conscience.
Congressman, as we approach this impeachment process, what's your biggest concern about the way this could play out?
You know, my biggest concern is not that, because once you make the decision that it's your duty to proceed, to some extent you got to let the chips fall where they may. And the way I proceed is to try to be as straightforward and clear as I can, and then voters in Vermont are going to be able to hold me accountable in the next election. The concern I have is that however this impeachment comes out, even if Donald Trump is convicted in the Senate, we all know that's uphill, impeachment will not cure what ails our democracy right now. We have an erosion of trust in each other and in institutions, and a democracy requires mutual trust and mutual respect. And this whole era that we're living in where social media stokes grievance, erodes trust, that's of real concern to me, whatever the outcome is of the impeachment of Donald Trump.
And finally, Congressman, are you at all concerned that this impeachment process could set a very dangerous precedent going forward for future presidents and congressmen, that if you don't like the results of an election, well, let's try to impeach the president?
Well, that's a huge risk, and that's why this power that we've decided to use, the impeachment clause in the Constitution, we're trying to take absolute care and present a very compelling case about why we decided to take this action. If people have an opportunity to read the report, it's long, but there's an executive summary of about 40, 45 pages, then I think it'll be helpful. And even if you ultimately disagree, you'll see that there's painstaking work and significant evidence to support what I'm saying. So I'd recommend to people to take that time. They can get that online.
We'll certainly be following the impeachment proceedings in Washington as they unfold, and we'll have more coverage on Vermont Public Radio starting Monday morning. Congressman Peter Welch, many, many thanks for taking the time to talk to us today on a very busy day for you about this very important issue.
Well, I thank you, and I thank all the Vermonters listening in.